you to turn your Bibles to the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. And there we're going to read beginning at verse 24. Acts chapter 24, beginning at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Felix was a man living in sin. So, when he sent for the Apostle Paul to come before him to speak of the faith in Christ, the Apostle Paul had 3 points in his sermon. They were righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. I have a strong suspicion that this was not what Felix expected. History tells us, though, that Felix was an unrighteous, intemperate man. So when the apostle preached to this man living in sin, he did not preach a socially acceptable, politically correct sermon. Rather, to this man living in sin, he spoke of the ultimate reality: there is a day of judgment. From the text we learn that this man Felix had an opportunity to hear of the word of faith more than once, apparently numerous times. And yet his response to the preaching of the Word of God was nothing more than to tremble at the Word he heard. He did nothing to change his life. Dear friends, it really does matter what you believe about the judgment. And it matters what you believe about the life you live in keeping with the fact that there will be a judgment. And I would hope that you would do more than just tremble at the reality that there is a judgment to come. There are a great many things about the great universal judgment that I do not know. There are so many questions that I cannot answer. I have been asked over the years numerous questions for which I did not have answers. And I do not have the answers because God has not in His Word revealed the answers to those questions. Yet having said that, there is so much that is revealed in the Bible about the great day of judgment. What I'd like to do for just a few minutes is to examine those things, not about which we speculate, but those things which we can know about the ultimate judgment of God. And the first thing we can know is this: the judgment day is a fact. There is a great universal judgment yet to come. Any idea that there will not be a final judgment simply does not have support from Scripture. Now, what I'd like to do, and I'm going to do a great deal of this morning, is I would like us to read from the Word of God. And we're going to turn first to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew and verses 14 and 15. Matthew 10, verses 14 and 15. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Now listen carefully. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, while it is true that the subject of this discussion is not specifically the great day of judgment, incidental to the discussion is the fact that there's going to be a day of judgment. And that's the thing we need to understand. That's something we can know, not something about which we need to speculate. The Bible reveals there will be a great day of judgment. Then I'm turning in my Bible to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 7. And here's what I read. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Not only did Jesus speak of the judgment, but the apostle Peter understood, realized, reveal the fact that there is a great day of judgment coming. And then in 1 John chapter 4 and at verse 17, here is what I read. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Boldness in the day of judgment. Now, friends, we can reject the testimony of Scripture. That is your privilege, that is mine. But I simply cannot understand for a single moment in time how it is possible for a person who believes that the Bible is the Word of God can reject this very specific, well-attested fact. There is a judgment day. But the second thing that we can know about this great day of judgment is this. It will be universal in its scope. I've turned in my Bible to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read just two verses of one of the very well-known accounts of the great judgment day. Verses 31 and 32 of chapter 25 of Matthew. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Did you hear the words, all nations? The great judgment day will be universal in its scope. In the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, at verse 10, the apostle Paul wrote, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you hear the word all? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10, the same apostle writes, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not some of us will appear. Not just this nation or that nation, this age or that age. We shall all appear because the judgment of God, this is something we can know, not about speculation. we can know that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It is universal in its scope. In the little one-chapter book of Jude, here's what I read in verses 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The judgment of God is universal. And one of the most interesting things about the verses I have just read to you is this. These are the words of Enoch, of whom it is said he walked with God. And if you go back to chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, you will read about Enoch, and you will realize that Enoch really isn't all that far removed from Adam. And the realization then that I have here is that there were some things that were known about the judgment of God from almost the dawn of time. This is not new information. The universality of the judgment of God is a fact. It is a known fact. And it has been known for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But the third thing we can know about the judgment of God is this. There will be a standard by which all will be judged. Now, I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans for just a minute. We're going to read about three verses from the second chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 2. Now remember, we're thinking about the standard by which all will be judged. Verse 2 says, But we are sure. Wait just a minute. Did you notice that? The apostle didn't write. Now there is some speculation about this. We have a good idea about this. This may be the way it's going to be. Oh no. He wrote, We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. The standard, my friends, by which all will be judged is the standard of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17 at verse 17, I have a very strong hint, do I not, that the standard of the judgment of all humanity will be by the Word of God, because it is truth. But look at verse 5 of chapter 2 of Romans. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The second thing I can say for sure about the standard of judgment is it will be according to righteousness. And then I think back to the Psalms, to chapter 119. And in that chapter, there is this wonderful little verse toward the end of the chapter that says, All thy commandments are righteousness. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The judgment of God will be according to the standard of truth. All thy commandments are righteousness. The judgment of God will be according to his commandments. But then I also want to read verse 12 of Romans chapter 2. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. This is such an interesting little verse and begins a section that is such an interesting section in its discussion. Time forbids our expanding the whole subject, but here's what we read. The Gentiles, who did not live by the law of Moses, that was not for them. Although they did not have the stipulations of the law of Moses, the Gentiles sinned, but not according to the stipulations of the law of Moses. Yet they sinned according to the Word of God, because that's going to be the standard of judgment. The Jews, on the other hand, had the law of Moses. And the Jews sinned according to the stipulations of the law of Moses. People who have lived since the death of Christ, however, sin according to the stipulations of the law of Christ. There's the standard. Now, your Bibles, I want you to turn to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, and there I want you to read with me verse 48. John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Now, listen. The word that I have spoken, not the word that Moses spoke, not the law of God for the Gentiles prior to the coming of Christ. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. But let's read verse 49 also. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. This, my friends, is the pertinent information for you and me, for our time, for our age. Doesn't apply to the Jews. Doesn't apply to the Gentiles who lived prior to the death of Christ. It applies now, however, to all mankind. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. But I also want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. And there at chapter 1, begin to read with me at verse 6. 2 Thessalonians, beginning at chapter 1, verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and listen to this, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who... And the who refers to those people who do not know God, who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Friends, listen to me. Yes, there is a great day of judgment coming. Yes, the judgment is universal. Yes, the standard of judgment for you and me is going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth which Jesus Christ and His holy apostles have revealed in His righteous word. And you and I need to be thinking about how the gospel relates to us and to our lives. The fourth thing we can know about the judgment is this: how a person has lived in this life is going to determine the outcome for him in the great judgment to come. I'm turning back in my Bible to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Here's what I read at verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in His glory, the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. What did I say? How a person lives in this life is going to determine the outcome for him in the judgment. Jesus taught that very fact. But I also want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and read with me at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, folks, this puts the standard and my life and the relationship of my life to the standard into proper focus. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to be judged by how we have lived our lives in keeping with the standard God has revealed. The covenant, the law to which we are subject. Now, yes, we can choose how to live our lives. That's a privilege God has given to us. We are moral beings, beings of choice. You can choose whether or not you want to live in keeping with God's will. But then, what about the consequences of the choices we make? Because, you see, it's not just a matter of making a choice. It's a matter of then having to live with a consequence eternally. Eternally. It does not make any logical sense whatsoever, folks, to believe that a person can live his life ignoring the revealed will of God and then receive good marks in the judgment. I was thinking about this morning in keeping with the education process. I registered for some classes at the university, and I have a confession to make. I registered for one class and thought I didn't need to go very often, and one day discovered that I had been dropped from the class, and it was a required class. I needed that to graduate. That's not good. Folks, you folks are still going to college and looking forward to that. Don't follow my example. But what I want to say about this is I registered for some classes, and I discovered that in order to pass the courses, I needed to be in class, I needed to listen to the teacher, I needed to take notes, I needed to read the text, so that when the tests were given, I could get good marks, so I could pass. All of us who are here understand that process. But I want to ask you this. How in the world, if we understand that process, how in the world can we expect to have ignored the will of God? Oh, I don't ignore it. Really. Sporadically, I pay attention to it. Oh, that's not going to work. How can we believe that we can ignore the will and word of God which has been revealed in His Word in our lives and come to the judgment day and hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? It's not going to happen. And we'd better get accustomed to that idea. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, a man of great experience, certainly a man of great wisdom, though he made some messes in his life, after he wrote of the perplexities of life, the complications of life, here's what he said in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There, my friends, is the bottom line piece of information and advice from this man of such great experience. But here's the good news. I can prepare for the judgment day. You know, in our lives, preparation will make so many things happier and more successful. So we prepare for our life's occupation. We prepare for marriage. We prepare for the coming of children into our families. We prepare for retirement. And yet the reality is that there are a great many people who really don't make much preparation at all. These are people who just let life happen to them. They're always in confusion. They're always in turmoil. They are always in a crisis mode for lack of preparation. Oh, sweet friends, we must prepare for this last great appointment, which all of us must keep without exception. Now I want you to turn your Bibles back to 2 Corinthians for just a minute. There at chapter 5, we're going to begin to read at verse 9. We're talking about preparing. I want you to listen. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things he has done in his body, whether according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And then look at the first part of verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I have a strong suspicion that the apostles did not preach nice little talks. I have a strong suspicion that because they knew the terror of the Lord, they spoke often of the judgment and the fate of those who refuse to accept the need for preparation for that appointment. Long years ago, people described that kind of preaching as hellfire and damnation. And our culture has gotten much away from that. Don't like to hear about that kind of thing. We like humorous, anecdotal, socially acceptable, politically correct, do not offend my sensitivities sermons and preaching. But we need to hear about the terror of the Lord. And what the passage I've just read to you tells us in verse 9 is that the objective of our lives needs to be, must be, to live in such a way that we will be approved of God. We labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of Him. We can make preparation. And our preparation needs to be in keeping with the Word and will of God so that we can be approved of Him. We prepare by being baptized into Christ. Would you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and there at verses 26 and 27, here's what we read. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And what was the result of that? The next two verses explain it. We become the heirs of God. But the preparation involved our believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then our being baptized into His body. We prepare by living for and to our Lord Jesus Christ. In my Bible, I'm turning back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where I'd like to read there, verses 14 and 15. Listen carefully. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We prepare, you see, by being baptized into the body of Christ, predicated upon our faith, our penitence, and then by our living each day of our lives, not for our own decision, not for our own will, but for the will of God. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. The words of an old song then are so very relevant. The question the song asks is this: are you ready for that day to come? There are in this assembly people who have not lived their lives in keeping with the will and the Word of God. There are people in this assembly who are living their lives according to their own will and not to the will of God. Teenagers, older people, you are not ready for that day to come. And what if that day should be today? You know, I keep thinking to myself, I only feel like I'm 17 years old. But I look in the mirror and I realize that 17 was a long time ago. But when I was 17, I thought, I'm going to live forever. And there are those days when I still feel like, well, I've got lots of life out in front of me. But when I was 17, I really did have. But what if that day, the day that I turned 70, what if that day was the day the Lord had come? Would I have been ready? I don't like gloom and doom. I'm not one of those people who really enjoys talking about hellfire and damnation. I admit that. But I'll tell you what. It may be high time for me to get accustomed to that. Because I may not be doing you any favor by not telling you that one of these days, and it could be today, you're going to stand with me before the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I will be judged not according to the way we chose to live, because that was acceptable, but whether or not we chose to live the way God wanted us to live. For that is acceptable. And how will the Lord speak to you that day? There are those in this assembly who have never been baptized into Christ. And I have to tell you, my sweet friend, you are not ready for that day to come. Because you are out of Christ. And out of Christ is lost. I would urge, I would beg, I would plead, I would do all I could to persuade that you this morning, because I know you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you this morning make the choice to repent of the life you've lived, a life where you've made all the choices, and commit yourself to a life where God makes all the choices, and be baptized this very day for the remission of your sins. I urge you to do that, because you're not ready for that day to come. And if you meet the Lord in the judgment in that condition, here are the words you will hear. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, how sad. Oh, how sad to face the Lord in the judgment out of Christ. There are those in this assembly who this day need to be making up their minds about how they want to face the Lord in the judgment. While we sing this song, if there's any way we can help you with the making of that decision, we urge and we invite that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.